I've frequently stated how the Wii's runaway success was due largely to Wii Sports and casual game buyers, and how Wii U's disappointing sales weren't disappointing, they just weren't the lightning in a bottle that the Wii was. If that's true, then how has the Nintendo Switch exceeded Wii's console sales? Is it the appeal of the docked and mobile switching nature, 2-in-1 value? Has the depth of the game library been valuable for every Nintendo target demographic? These are questions I've asked rhetorically. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to give you the underlying numbers and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again, episode number 902 of our show for this February the 8th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello, as always, to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I'm having OBS problems tonight for some weird reason, and I'm seeing something completely different other than... There you are. Hello. Okay. Whew. A little bit of technical difficulties on my end. All the joy when we were...
I've been here.
No, I know you have, but it was showing something else on my screen. So all the joy is when we broadcast live here at the Voice Geeks Network, because we do tape live every Sunday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice Geeks Network on Twitch. Twitch.tv/VOG Network. Did I leave anything out? No, I think I got it all. next week is the decommissioning of Studio N7. Do you have any favorite Studio N7 memories, Dark Sakura?
Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Making latkes.
I don't have coffee tonight because husband said you might go to Starbucks. Yeah, Mr. Smush says snort. But, hopefully you can come see the new place. Of course, for those that missed the news, Alan and I are moving to a new place. So this studio will be no more after really next week's episode is going to be the last one. So it'll be the last chance to celebrate a lot of shows from this studio. And because honestly, the transition from us being on Shoutcast to Twitch to virtual kind of all happened here. So it's been a lot of a change for the show here. Also say hello tonight to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey Loki, what's that game playing behind you tonight? I'm trying to see
Lil Nemo.
Oh my gosh, I haven't played that game in a very long time. What made you want to play that, or what made you think of that one for your background tonight?
I don't know. just so many games I've already picked. I'm like, I gotta pick something different.
Sure, I understand. Hey, I know you had an update to give on a frequent guest contributor to the program.
Yeah, so this has been a rough week. So I found out that, like, the sickness I had last week that we thought was not COVID was COVID. So there's that, which is fun. So unfortunately, I knew last week that we were going to schedule my cat to be put down. Mm-hmm. And so it's just her health had been it had been gradually getting worse. She's been losing weight for, at least a year and a half. Mm-hmm. She was down to under probably around 5 pounds at the time.
Wow.
Just all skin and bones, basically. No matter what we would try to give her, it wasn't really doing anything. And, they didn't know what was wrong with her. She had neurological problems at one point. We thought that she might have had a stroke because she was, kind of circling in certain directions. That seemed to get better, because I thought she was going blind to it for a while. So we just made the choice that's okay, it's not getting any better. There's nothing we can really do for her. We had some pretty rough weeks where, she was just throwing up and, diarrhea and all that stuff. She stopped grooming herself. So unfortunately, on Thursday, we had to put her down.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I know that's not an easy decision, but I know you did what's right for Stella, and it was probably a lot harder for you, but, you know, it's...
it was especially hard knowing that I knew when it was going to happen, so I had 4 days to, like... So I just tried to spend as much time with her as I could, and...
And good on you doing that. You know, so many pets don't get to have a great home and a great place to be, but you certainly gave her one. So, you know, I think she's very appreciative for that, as is anybody who is a lover of cats, for sure. And nothing but love coming from our chat room right now, of course.
Yeah, and it's just still, it's getting used to. I still, like, you know, as I'm sitting here at my desk, I'm like, oh, I better not, like, I better put my foot a certain way so I don't kick her in the head and she's not there. So it's like, it's tough.
And then I can't even imagine.
I was like that with Shermie.
Yeah. And I can't even imagine having to deal with COVID on top of all of that. So just you've had a rough, I'm actually kind of surprised you're here. You've had a rough week. I hope the show can help take your mind off it a little bit, but.
Yeah, it's been getting easier every day. It's just, you know, and it's tough.
Will. Yeah. But I'm sure our listeners, I know I do, are thankful. You know, this whole virtual setup wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to go like this 2 years ago. But I'm glad that we were able to meet Stella, and I'm glad you were able to kind of share her with so many people throughout, you know, the world, thanks to what we do here on Sunday nights and our little show. So lots of people feeling that in chat. And as Bobby Blackwolf puts it, we can shitpost about video games for the next few hours to take your mind off it. Sounds good. And SSJ 100 Matt with a nice thing that's kind of sums up a lot of the comments in chat, saying, RIP Stella, you and your family gave her a wonderful life, and she shared so much love to you guys. You did the right thing. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to move on. We're going to get into our kickoff topic for the night. Actually, I kind of have two things. I have a quick thing for the top of the show before we get into the main kickoff topic that is up on the board. Sometimes I get messages from people that listen to the show, and people become my friends from this show. I'm a normal person just like everybody else out there. Well, I've got problems, but don't we all? I'm
just normal.
Yeah, relative. Right? So, like, you know, people will message me, and, you know, I do try to respond best I can. I'm really bad, and my husband will be the first. I'm really bad about reading a message, and then, oops, I got distracted during something else, and I never get around to responding. I am really bad at that, especially if you message me during the show. Mm-hmm. I am trying to do something else right now, so it's bad. But I get DMs on Twitter. I get, you know, messages on Facebook. And, you know, if sometimes it's questions about video games or what's my hot take on a certain thing, and I'll, you know, give my hot take. This one, though, kind of made me go, ooh, I should talk about that on OLR. So I got a message on Facebook that said, and I guess I can just say it's from Codeman, who used to be here live, but I guess has, I
we
think,
chat
listens.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. He's been a listener for a long time. I think he just more listens on the podcast feed these days than live. Codeman sent me a message. It was like, hey, honest question. Does this Pokemon game seem rushed to you? And we were talking, you know, because we've talked a little bit on the show about Pokemon Legends. And I was talking about my review last week about my impressions, and that I really do enjoy it as a Pokemon game. And honestly, now here we are another week into it. And I actually said, I need a little more time with this, but I think this might be my favorite Pokemon game they've done yet. And I think I'm at the point where I can say, yes, this is my favorite Pokemon game they've done yet. That doesn't mean it's without its flaws. And as I pointed out last week, a lot of that is in the technical space, right? It looks like a PlayStation 3 RPG you know, a lot of the waves, the scenery looks and things like that. And I think it just falls into the hands of the ever long running joke that Nintendo just can't, you know, compete in the technological department, but especially so the Pokemon Company and Game Freak. And it was interesting because, you know, I gave my kind of take on this, and I'll give it to you guys in a minute. But then Codeman kind of pointed out, I've noticed that Sword and Shield look drastically better graphics-wise than this game. That's why I asked. Now, and I agree, Sword and Shield was a better-looking game. It is a little bit apple to oranges in the fact that, you know, while, yes, Sword and Shield had very wide open areas, it was a very different sort of open area than I think what we get in this game. And I think that should be noted as to, you know.
Yeah, didn't Loki. Sword and Shield struggle with, like, some of those open areas? Like, wasn't the game pretty solid? But, like, when you got to those big open areas, it was, like, kind of chugging a bit.
Sometimes. I think also docked versus handheld would play into that a little bit. And I only play docked. So, and usually the game will stutter more in handheld. I pretty much only play games in docked mode on the Switch. So it's hard for me. But yes, I mean, it even Sword and Shield kind of plays into the old argument of, LOL, Nintendo doesn't make technologically great games. But then,
Breath of the Wild exists, and it existed on the Wii U, so it's like...
That is very true, right? Absolutely. And folks in chat, of course, jumping right in. Mike Def says, it's not perfect, but what it does so good. And I absolutely agree. And again, I just said, this is probably my favorite Pokemon game. I mean, yes, we can kind of say technologically it's got some issues, but you know what? At the end of the day, does it really matter? No, but I think a lot of us just kind of look at it. And I said this last week, but I'm going to reiterate. The frustrating part is that we look at it and we see the potential. Because we see the, I don't know, Horizon Forbidden Wests of the world. We see the Forza Horizon 5s of the world. We see all these... Actually, wait. Did I just add an extra Forza Horizon game? I think I did. But someday there'll be a 5. I think I just added another game in the series. We all know it's coming. But we all see the Forza Horizon series of the world. And we see all these games. And it's like, why can't Nintendo be that? And... to quote a famous drag queen, you will never be glamour. And I think Nintendo is kind of okay being that. Okay. I'm losing track of games. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby says Forza Horizon 5 is the current game. I had to like count in my head. Okay. Anyway, you know what the point I was getting at though, is that Pokemon Legends Arceus isn't that. It's not that in the graphical sense. So the question, I want to go back to the question that Codeman raised, is that does this Pokemon game seem rushed to you? And my answer is no, but. And here's the real hot take, and I want to see what y'all think of this hot take. Can you rate this hot take on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being like piping spicy hot, and 1 being like cold McDonald's fries, okay? So what do you think of this hot take? And my hot take is, I don't think it was rushed, but I think the scope of the game changed, because I think the reason why this game isn't technologically pushing the way it ought to is because it was originally designed to be the launch game for the Switch Pro. And when the Switch Pro suddenly didn't happen because of chip shortage, well, I shouldn't say suddenly didn't happen, because I think that's been in the making for a while. I think when it didn't happen because of chip shortages and things of that nature, they decided to release the game anyway because the Pokemon games are on a timetable and what have you. But I think a Pokemon-style Breath of the Wild candidate would have been the perfect game to release a new type of like upgraded Switch and all that with. And I think maybe some more of that potential and maybe some of the stutter and things like that probably wouldn't have been there on a Switch Pro. And so that's my hot take, is that no, I don't think it was rushed, but I think they had to change it. And suddenly, as high as it was going to go was the Switch, and there wasn't going to be a Switch Pro in that situation. Mike Deft in chat says, Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl was rushed. Legends Arceus wasn't rushed. Mike Deft says, Game Freak has never been praised for their graphics. Fifth Dream in chat says, Nintendo consoles are 1 to 5 gens behind, and Pokemon games are half more behind than that. I think that's a pretty good way to put it, summarize it there. Dark Tetsuya says, yes, I could see that as a big franchise, but like not a big game that does seem to track as launch title, right? Sometimes Nintendo kind of does this with their launch titles. I mean, it's not, you can't say they always do it, but like look at the launch of the GameCube. Like Luigi's Mansion was kind of like their Mario game, but it wasn't really a Mario game at all. It was very different. And so, you know, I think, and plus we know that the Switch Pro, I think, would have been a mid-grade, and anything that was designed for it should work on the Nintendo Switch. And I think that's why this game still came out at the end of the day, is because it was designed to run on the Nintendo Switch, just like, you know, Breath of the Wild was designed to run on the Wii U and all that stuff. Zelda Twilight Princess was designed to run on the GameCube and the Nintendo Wii and all that stuff. I just think that... it ended up at some point, we're not going to release it on a Switch Pro after all. I think if they do release a Switch Pro in the next year or so, I kind of don't think they will at this point. But if they do, and then suddenly this game works on it, or there's a Game of the Year edition with the rumored DLC that comes out and all that stuff, I think it almost just guarantees I'm right in this situation. If it doesn't happen, I still kind of want to be right, but I may not be, and that's fine. I realize it's a hot take. SG100 Matt says, Game Freak still using the Game Boy era Pokemon growls is a troll for the haters at this point. Did you notice that even Pikachu and Eevee have the Game Boy growls? There's not even a Pikachu, like, in every Pokemon game. Like, even on the game, even on Pokemon Yellow, Pikachu went Pikachu and doesn't do it here. So I think that's more to try to fit in with the lore. I mean, you can call it corner cutting, but I think you can say there's an argument to be made about the whole it's historical, it's the first Pokédex, it's when Pokemon were still violent, you know, and all this stuff that is maybe plays into that and why they can kind of do that. So anyway, LM Orchard in chat says, how'd Pikachu go again? Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Yeah, Jamie does it better. All right.
Also, Pikachu's voice actor is a lady.
Yes, there's several. Bulbasaur is a lady, too. She was at Dragon Con 1 year. I think several of them are ladies. Not all of them, though, of course. Because I think the director of the first Pokemon movie or something does one of the voices of one of the Pokemon. So, anyway. All right. I just wanted to answer that. I thought it was an interesting question, and I wanted to put that hot take at the start of the show. Let's get to another hot take going around the gaming industry right now. Rumors, rumors, rumors. Although this, I don't know if I would put this in the rumor department because it's more a little bit like there is smoke and potentially fire. It's something that Business Insider reported on, which has a little bit more of a reputation for getting things. Although it's interesting, their entire site is paywalled, or at least the story is. So a lot of people are having to report on the report. But many game blogs are pointing out that Business Insider has run a report that says Stadia has basically been demoted within Google. And I want to hear what Dark Soccer thinks of this, too, as Twitch's premier Stadia streamer. But
I would need to see the report.
Let me get to some of the information that is coming out of this first. Apparently, Phil Harrison, and why they're calling this a demotion, basically, Phil Harrison, who is the VP, I'm sorry, Phil Harrison now reports to Google's VP of Subscription Services instead of directly to Rick Osterloh, who is Google's hardware boss. And I think that movement is the catalyst for this whole story and this report. I think people are really running with this, and you're seeing, now you want to talk about hot takes, you're seeing the hot takes on Twitter where people are already eulogizing Stadia. I'm not sure it's quite that. In fact, I think we're quite a ways away from that. However, the report goes on to say the reason for this is disappointing sales and performing far below Google's expectations. Google Stadia will now be focusing on lucrative deals with other companies to create and power experiences for them. Folks are talking about a deal with Peloton Bikes, which I think is very interesting. And it's going to be powered by Google Stream, which people are saying is just Google Stadia under a different name. It's the same technology. Very interesting. But I guess now only about 20% focus on at Stadia is on the gaming side, as was before. And this is according to an insider who gossiped to appropriately Business Insider. What's also interesting about this and what lends the Business Insider report it to some credibility potentially is that Google Stadia kind of responded, but they responded with their tongue in their cheek with a tweet that said, if you hear one thing, hear this. The Stadia team is working really hard on a great future for Stadia and cloud gaming. We hope you agree, and we know the proof is in the playing. The source went on to talk to Business Insider saying, there are plenty of people internally who would love to keep it going, so they are working really hard to make sure it doesn't die, but they're not the ones writing the checks. It doesn't seem like...
I'm reading the Business Insider article right now.
Oh, fun. I'll get your take on that in just a moment. Let me get a couple...
For the record, if you ever want to get past a paywall, go to archive.js and put in the URL, and it should load it up.
Oh, there you go. Apparently, Google will not probably pull the plug on Stadia anytime soon, but it's just kind of playing into the whole... Google didn't... it didn't really play off as much as they wanted. So I don't think like they're going to shut Stadia down tomorrow or anything like that. But here's what it is. And then I definitely want to let Jamie have a say here as our Stadia expert, I guess. What it is this is just playing right into the hands of a lot of people that when Stadia launched, they said Google's going to treat this like they do everything else. They're going to give it 2 years to be successful. And if it doesn't, they're going to cut it off at the kneecaps, just like all these other things they launch. And so people are now reading this. And even though they're not really hearing, Google Stadia is not being shut down. It's just being deprioritized. Everybody's kind of going, well, we all knew that's what was going to happen. Here it is.
That's not at all what I think this is saying.
Go ahead. Looking this over. What's your take on this?
What I think is happening is that they're branching out the technology for Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
Stadia isn't going anywhere. They're still supporting it. They're still bringing stuff out. They just actually had a big sale for the Capcom licenses. I just got the deluxe Resident Evil Village for like $40. So they're still you know, pushing on it. What I think it is is that they're licensing the technology to get more out of it. I mean, yeah, they've lost some money on it, but it still has a very dedicated user base. And, you know, again, for people like me who play on a Mac, for example, you know, it's a better alternative in my book to using the NVIDIA service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use the NVIDIA service, I mean, because it just hasn't worked out as well
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think that they're trying to confirm their own bias, is what I think is happening.
Hmm.
And so that's why the Stadia crew had to go in and do damage control, because if anyone is going to know if it's going to, you know, continue or how it's going to be supported, it's going to be the people that are behind it, right?
Right.
And, you know, they say that there's some things coming out that they can't talk about, but it does make it seem like there's going to be new titles and maybe even new services. And they're already talking about UI improvements, like having ways to sort through your games and having, you know, a different, like they just added in the search feature. They've really been stepping up the interface for Stadia. Now, I'm really reading this more that, especially since Google tried to you know, work with Bungie, and we're even looking at acquiring them before Sony stepped in.
We'll get to that.
Well, and on top of that, they also worked with AT&T to allow people to stream Batman Arkham Knight directly through the web browser. You know, but you know, Google's branding wasn't on it, but AT&T, you know, definitely said it's running on Stadia's technology. So I think that they're looking to branch out their streaming technology to other services like Peloton, or maybe other developers to have their stuff out. They've even pitched using Stadia's services as beta testing for PC games that are going to be coming out, you know, PC, Mac games, whatever, right, that are going to be coming out. So that's what I'm reading into this.
Yeah.
Is, you know, but especially with bringing up, you know, the information about, you know, branching out like that, I really do think of it as a branching out. I think it wasn't a big priority because, you know, Google's always been like, if it's not an overnight success, then it's not a success.
Mm-hmm.
And need to learn to play the longevity game. On top of that, too, I mean, there's been plenty of companies that have just absolutely adopted the service and find it very useful. So I don't want to be alarmist, and I don't want to believe any kind of hype until I see official word from the official people.
Right.
I'll take all of this with a grain of salt, but what I'm translating this to is just that they're going to be expanding that technology and using it in different ways. So the gaming platform may not seem like it's getting as much attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be getting as much attention, but other aspects of it will be getting attention as well.
I'm of two minds with this, and I think a lot of what you say really does hit the nail on the head, because I do think Google is certainly why limit the streaming technology to gaming when there's other spaces where it makes sense to grow this technology into, such as like the Peloton thing is actually kind of interesting to me, and whatever else might be in the future for mobile and these sorts of things. Absolutely. So I don't think we should be eulogizing Stadia by any means at this point. And I think a lot of that is still, you know, very premature. And I think there are, you know, very exciting uses, like you talk about, like the betas and being able to preview things without necessarily downloading something to your computer where pirates can get in there and data mine, or excuse me, hackers, whatever, can get in there and data mine things. That actually should be a very lucrative thing for companies to want to get into, I would think. However,
I have a quote, by the way. Huh?
Go ahead with your quote, because I do have a however with this that I want it, because I do think there is something we have to realize, but go ahead.
Well, Patrick Sabold, who is a Google spokesperson, I'm just going to read this verbatim. We announced our intention of helping publishers and partners deliver games directly to gamers last year, and we have been working toward that. The first manifestation has been our partnership with AT&T, who is offering Batman Arkham Knight available to their customers for free. While we won't be commenting on any rumors or speculation regarding other industry partners, we're still focused on bringing great games to Stadia in 2022. With 200-plus titles available, we expect to have another 100-plus games added to the platform this year and currently have 50 games available to claim in Stadia Pro.
So getting into my however, I do think that Google is taking a focus off of gaming a little bit and what the original intent was behind Stadia. And I think, you know, the reorganization makes that very clear. I think the fact that they kind of stopped, you know, they canceled the games that they were making. They sold off the, you know, whatever they were. They don't really have any exclusives in-house anymore. And I really think they stopped signing the deals to get the exclusives outside as well. So I think this whole idea that like Google Stadia is a console that's going to compete with Xbox and Switch. And the trick is it's not actually a console. It's just there in the cloud. I think that whole image that we've had in our minds, that ain't it anymore. And that's what it is. And to be honest, in my opinion, that was all missed messaging from the very beginning. And quite honestly, I think the biggest problem in Stadia's pocket right now, I don't think Phil Harrison is a very good leader. I just don't think I think he's misfired the messaging on this from the very beginning. I don't think he's very good for the company.
It's like he has a history of doing this.
Exactly. I think Phil Harrison is the problem. And what's going to be interesting, I will bet money he leaves within the next year. He's gone. And people are going to use that to further eulogize Stadia, when in fact, that would actually probably be the best possible thing that could happen to the platform, in my opinion.
He could go join the Amico team.
Not going there. But it's interesting, because I think if you were to go back to when this was first announced, I was very apprehensive about cloud gaming, you know, and I was very much like, I don't think this is the right thing. There's too many bandwidth caps. There's too many, you know, restrictions. How is somebody going to play 4K, 60 frames a second? And that was my frame of thought. I'll admit that. It honestly wasn't until on this program, Dark Soccer was saying, this is a way for me to play shit on my Mac, that I started to go, huh. And then Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, and the best experience for that game is on Google Stadia. And I started to go, huh. And now I'm hearing about these betas, and doesn't it make sense to do that more for the cloud and so forth? And I'm really starting to go, interesting. So I think I've really warmed up to the idea of what this cloud and how it fits into gaming's future. And I do think cloud gaming, to some extent, is going to be in the future of games. And I've said this before on the show, as I've kind of been making this transition in my own thinking, is that as 5G gets more and more popular, as more and more people work from home and cable companies and so forth get challenged on their data bandwidth caps, as we get more and more connected and so on and so on. And I'm talking about things that happen 10 years from now. I'm not talking about things that happen next year or the year after. I'm talking about the long game, people. I'm talking about OLR in our 50s, okay? Cloud gaming, I think there is. And that's why so many people are getting into it in very different ways. And now you have, and this ended up being, I think, a bit of an issue for Google as well. Google gets into it. Amazon gets into it. Microsoft gets into it. NVIDIA gets into it. I mean, there are a lot of cloud gaming solutions right now. And I think the person that's playing the game the best, in my opinion, not from a technological perspective, but from a marketing perspective, is Microsoft. And the reason why I say that is because they're not trying to like make a big deal of it. They're making it an option, and they're subtly, it's like they're putting it on a plate and they're subtly nudging it in front of somebody. Here, eat this. You already have this Microsoft Game Pass. Did you know you can play all of these games on the cloud? Just click here to start that. Here, eat this. Whereas I think the problem that Stadia was challenged with and the messaging I think they misfired on was the whole, you've got to fucking have this. Cloud gaming is the future. And Stadia, you can play it on a Chromecast and all this stuff, even though it's not going to launch that way and it's not going to look that way for like 6 months into it and so forth. But I sort of think Microsoft is playing the long game on that, and I think that's going to be successful for them. I'm not saying, and again, I'm not saying the Stadia is going to fail, but I think Stadia misfired, and I think it's Phil Harrison's fault.
Well, I did sign up for Amazon's service, Luna.
Luna, the
beta for it, and I'm really looking to see how it compares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm still going to stay with Stadia as long as I can until I get my PC rebuilt and then can just play Dead by Daylight on Steam. Well, because I think that because my account's linked, all of my achievements and whatever and my hours will transfer over, I hope. But that's pretty much the thing I'm playing on Stadia, that, and I was playing Cyberpunk, but I'm going to play Resident Evil, although I have other ideas for things I'm going to play now.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think your crown as the premier Stadia streamer on Twitch is going to go anywhere anytime soon. Because I think Stadia is staying around for a little bit. But I just don't think we're going to see Stadia exclusives or, you know, I don't think we're going to see a narrative really pushed where, like, Stadia is this – I think it's just going to – it's going to be there and it's a thing that exists and it's a thing that you can buy games on, and another way to do it, I think, is kind of what it is at this point. Interesting perspective from Fifth Dream in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, who says – This stuff now is like VR in the 90s. It didn't take off on the first go, but eventually we'll accept it and it will be taken for granted. Interesting. You know, the graphics in VR weren't all that in the beginning. And I think a lot of that had to catch up a bit to make it. Because now everybody thinks of 90s VR and they think of that movie, The Lawnmower Man. And you go back and you watch that movie now and it's like, fuck, this was ridiculous. But that's what VR kind of looked like in the 90s, right? For those of us that lived it. But now it's very different. So,
God, I haven't thought of that movie in an age.
I think most people haven't. All right. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about our gaming weeks. Let's talk about how was your gaming week. We'll move over to Dark Sakura, and I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
Productive.
Yeah?
I played Mass Effect 2.
Nice.
On through Windows 11 ARM. And it had, like, right at first it had some syncing issues, and then after that it was fine. I even got my old save files to work. The thing is that the first Mass Effect save files will not work. And, you know, I imported, like, some of my old favorites. I'm probably going to start the game over and live stream it, I think. But I had fun with it. Now the only other things that I'm trying to do is that, like, the save file editor, it will not run in this version of Windows, so I have to find something else.
Mm.
But so far, I mean, it's the game I love and remember, you know, had a good time with it. It looks good. There's already high res textures for it, like even more high res. So I'm enjoying it, you know, been playing. And of course, playing copious amounts of Dead by Daylight. I'm kind of like, it's something that, like, it goes off in my brain that the moment I hit, like, silver ranks, I'm just sort of like, okay, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to play, you know, meme around with people. Like, I don't know how this came about, but when I was playing last night, I was in, like, the Crow Ladies area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Zarina just standing there. And I was playing Freddy. We just both nodded at each other and then went in different directions. And ended up that, like, there was another, what's her name from Halloween?
Lori,
yeah. There was a Lori there, and I was playing her normal, and then I guess she and the Zarina player were friends or something, but then we just sort of just played around, and we, you know, farmed the generators a little bit, and I let Lori out, and then Zarina showed me the hatch, and I closed the hatch, and then Zarina left. So it was just like a funny little game, and then I had like a mid-game boop match. I've just been having fun, because like people are being, you know, salty and sweaty and just taking things too seriously. And last night, I just give a shit. I just wanted to play, you know, play around, let, you know, people know there's another person here. But I've started doing something in my post-game chat that actually has made my experience in the game a lot better. And that's just saying, hey, I had fun. Have a great evening. You know, even if someone was a shit, you know. You know, I might say, well, what was with, like I had a Jane player last night. There's, you know, when you go into the basement and the stairs turn to the side, there's a corner there that if someone's knocked down, it will clip them into that corner and you can't pick them up until I picked her up and got her there. And, you know, that was the only comment I said was like, you know, other than that exploit by the Jane player, you know, I had fun. I mean, I didn't win or anything. I was playing Huntress. I'm not good at her. But I had a fun time, and I'll make sure that I want people to leave a game that they're playing with me having a good experience.
I think a lot of people just say GGWP, but I think because you see that so often, it kind of loses its meaning.
It's desensitized, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just like, you know, hey, I had a good time, you know, good game. It was, you know, but the big thing is me just saying, have a good night. And it changes the entire conversation instead of you got shitted on or whatever. Like, it's like, I just flat out instead of, you know, someone started with that and they said, oh, just were you having an off night? Like, yeah, I was just, you know, memeing around. And like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, well, better luck next time. And I was like, yeah, you have a good one. I even found a person that I got on two different characters on two different matches. So I rated them.
Now how many bits, Dark Sakura, for you to start off that chat very nice and pleasant, and then at the end say, now go get shit on. Good night. How many bits to get you to tell someone to go fuck themselves?
I'd do it for 2,500 bits.
All right. Noted.
Noted. I'll do it.
You should put that as a channel. Oh, I guess that's not actual money. It was a channel points reward. Like 50,000 points, get shit on.
No.
I know. It makes me think of Losing Colors, GG Easy. What used to be like his big premier reward, like for him to say GG Easy was like 50,000 points or something. But I think because the context of the game has changed a little bit, he reduced the number of points you needed for that. But yeah.
Well, I spend all of my points on one thing and one thing only. And that's the rate my cosmetics. And I don't even know what it is, because, you know, the only reason I have survivors anymore is to play dress up with them. But people like my outfits. I guess I have good fashion sense in game. Who knows?
For me, I hardly ever redeem channel points because I'm always saving for the biggest e-ticket item. I'm saving for VIP, you know, or the you get a sound command and introduction every time you come here and those types of high ticket rewards.
I got VIP shout out and a sound command in Nick's channel. I have VIP in Dro's, Hydro, and I think I got it in Isago, and then Elsie just gave it to me like early on. So
nice.
But if I'm in somebody's channel that much, I want to be productive and help them out and promote them while I'm there, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I'm still, though, I think I put Play Survivor as my high-level redeem in mine. Although, I might play tonight.
Ooh, fun.
If I get people to play with me. I have to get people to play with me.
I might be on. We'll see.
All right. Well, the other stuff I played, of course, I played Wordscapes. I played Star Trek Pinball here at my house. And I am getting things ready if the tool that I'm using to play it on works. I'm probably going to start streaming A Link to the Past.
Oh, fun.
For like a retro game night. Other than that, like I said, I say I'm going to play. Oh, and Fantasian, of course, which I actually beat a boss that had been giving me fits before, and I beat it pretty readily. So it was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Loki. How was your gaming week, Loki?
I'm playing Minecraft and more power washing sim.
Good times. Well, you've had a week, so comfort food games like those.
Yeah, I didn't
play
a whole ton of games.
Well, comfort food games like those go a long way, I'm sure.
Dude, someone should just bring you a pot of macaroni and cheese.
That's not a game.
No, but it's comfort.
It is comfort.
What's better than video games and eating a pot of macaroni and cheese by yourself?
Coffee.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, I've just been working on the Minecraft stuff. I filmed a little bit of stuff this week, and then I just have to edit it down. But yeah, new episode coming soon.
Speaking of, by the way, before I get to my gaming week, since Channel Point Rewards got brought up and mac and cheese, we do need to schedule Orange Lounge Foodio. I know it was delayed for several months because of some things I'm going through. Actually, I do have a small update in that department. I had an update check on what's called your A1C, which is basically like your average blood sugar over a 2 to 3 month period. And I dropped that number by over 3 points down to basically a level that would be considered more pre-diabetic. So that's pretty exciting. And my doctor actually sent an email to me, "You are doing amazing," which is a nice thing to hear from your doctor. So that was a very nice. I mean, it's come with some work. And I'm third. Maybe you've noticed a little bit, because now I'm getting to the point where like I see it, some of my weight loss. But I've come down 30 pounds than where I was last summer. So it's been an adventure. Thank you. It's more
now,
about more
I,
more about my health
do,
than my looks. But
if I can get you to do weight training with me, that'd be awesome.
Well, the nice thing is the new place I'm moving to has like a clubhouse with a gym that we get access to. So, and that I feel better, a little better about that than going to a place like, 24 hour, any of those big clubs, because, right now with COVID still, that's a little more exclusive. So it's a higher chance I can get in there when it's just me or one other person. So that'll be easy. I can do more than just walk, I think, in my routine, because Omicron's kind of kept me from the gym during this whole time. Otherwise I would have started working that into my routine. So,
yeah.
Anyway, my gaming week and other things. Honestly, my gaming week this week looks almost exactly like last week. A lot of the same games. I'm still playing a diverse amount of stuff. I'm playing Final Fantasy 14 as I usually do. I'm also continuing Dead by Daylight. I had a bit of an opposite week than Dark Sakura.
What happened?
Oh, just solo queue is so draining. I rage quit on Monday or Tuesday night. I was getting tunneled. I was getting left on the hook. I died on first hook more than once. Like, it was just really irritating stuff. And I like even Alan heard me go like, "Fuck this game." Or I just was like really upset. But then, of course, like a dummy, I went back to it yesterday and I was like, all right, maybe this isn't so bad. MMR finally put me in a lower bracket or something, and it was a little more manageable.
That sounds like an abusive relationship.
Pretty much, honestly. So there was that as well. And then Pokemon Legends Arceus. I've got past the second area in that and the boss there, which I know some of you have probably already beaten the game and you've gotten through much further than I have. But I think there's a lot of people like me who are playing it very slowly and exploring the areas and catching all the Pokemon and getting items and all that stuff. So I'm still really enjoying that game. It's great. We talked about that a lot at the top of the show, though, so I won't add a lot to that. Still played some Taiko no Tatsujin. I bought my first song. I also did my first online match, which I lost, which was bullshit because the other guy didn't get a full combo. I did, but I had more OKs. But I was able to calibrate my TV, and it's a little better. But I guess I'm still not hitting as exact. Whatever. The game's still kind of fun, I guess. Yeah, the song I bought was like old school. I think it was called Namcot Melody, because it was old school Namco games, like all mishmashed together. It was like the Pac-Man interlude, then the Mappy interlude, then like, you know, it's just like a bunch of stuff, like all kind of mishmashed together. It was really cute. So, but yeah, all that stuff together was pretty much my gaming week. Played a little bit here and a little bit there. All right. Let's move into some other gaming news. Just a reminder, though, there will be no live show or podcast in 2 weeks, because next week is the last show in this house with the studio, and I'm moving. And then, yeah, it's going to be a fresh coat of paint when we get to episode 904 in a few weeks. So, yeah, but we will be here next week. I realize next week is a big, silly football game that a lot of people pay attention to. Usually there's a big, important concert with that as well, but they decided to go a different route this year than a big diva. Well, I guess they have Mary J. Blige. That's kind of neat. But I'm not.
Hey, Mary J. Blige. That talk about diva.
Yeah, I know. I'm not as excited as I was with, say, Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, Shakira. It's Gaga. It's not quite that. It's a different concert this year, and the little game they play around the concert. But just to be clear, that doesn't deter us from doing our show. We will still be here next Sunday. Usually, I think that
and we will report on the Puppy Bowl.
Yes. Is that still going on this year? I guess it
I
must
think
be.
They're still doing the Puppy Bowl.
When wouldn't it be? I don't know. All right. So yeah, and like Dark Tessie says in chat, it's usually kind of over by then anyway. Yes. So, S200 Matt says, I envision off camera Rob is surrounded by boxes and a massive Tetris like pattern. Not quite yet, but maybe next week it'll be a little more like. I would imagine next week it's not, the studio's not like all this stuff on the wall is going to be down. It's going to look very different in here. Yeah. But probably not right now. Bobby Blackwolf does point out that he will not be here next week because he has a small gathering of folks for the little concert and side of game that happens next week. And speaking of food, that's the other big deal about those types of things. You go to see your friends and it's all about the potluck and teeny weenies. That's basically what it is. It's next week is a celebration of teeny weenies. All right.
I'm glad they get their day.
Let's move on. Let's get to our big headline of the week. Loki.
So Sony has decided to go ahead and purchase Bungie for $3.6 billion. Now, unlike Activision, Blizzard, or like some of the other acquisitions that have been happening recently, they are still going to be remaining an independent subsidiary of Sony Interactive Entertainment, and also they're going to be publishing games on multi-platform, so not just PlayStation exclusives. Of course, you know, that can all change down the road. We'll have to wait and see, but for right now, they are committing to at least publishing on other platforms. So that's good. Along with that, Sony has been spending money to keep the devs from leaving. So they've spent $1.2 billion of that to, I guess, you know, keep the staff that are there that are working on Destiny 2 from leaving. So, and that'll be paid out over several years. So
that's very smart. To make sure you pay to keep the talent and not just, you know, because if you look at Microsoft and Activision and that whole thing, people have been abandoning ship at Activision left and right and Blizzard and all that because of that, you know, dumb fuck who's leading the company right now. I'm not talking about Microsoft, who has an intelligent man that's leading the company, but I'm talking about people abandoning ship at ABK because of the dumb fuck that's running things over there who shouldn't have a job anymore. But I digress. My point is, it's very smart of Sony to really pay to keep the talent here I don't know if like Sony has this bad stigma or whatever where people would be looking to run, but they might be looking to run because they fear like the corporate, you know, whatever it is, or it doesn't match their vision or what have you.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's still good to keep your, you know, talent around, and right now what they have planned is more live service games. I mean, that's what Destiny is, I guess, so.
Well, and it makes sense for Sony to have something like that. God of War isn't that. Horizon isn't that. So it makes sense for them to have something in their pocket. You know what I think happened? Because a lot of folks are saying this is a response to Microsoft buying Activision. No. No. First off, if you're a gaming analyst or gaming commentator has come to that conclusion, that ought to be one of those red flag emojis. Because real talk, this conversation had to be in talks a long time ago. So this started well before the news that Microsoft... Now, you don't know who talks to who, and maybe Sony picks some stuff, but I highly doubt any of that came into play. This was something that happened independent of that. It is simply interesting that Bungie was a Microsoft company, then they weren't. Then they were an Activision company, then they weren't. And
they weren't.
After the Activision thing, they were like, we're never getting into another relationship. And, you know, if Bobby Kotick was your CEO, fuck, I'd be pretty scarred too. But now here we are, they're getting into a relationship again with Sony. That is interesting, their trajectory, but it certainly has nothing to do with the Microsoft Activision thing. Yeah, DJ Romas says it's had to be in the works for at least 6 months. Exactly.
And it's possible, too, that it still could have been somewhat in response with that, because you don't know who was talking to Activision to purchase them. Maybe Sony and Microsoft knew that, you know, one had interest for the others or something like that. So it could be possible that, you know, some of that could have sparked it. But no, it's not like, you know, Microsoft purchased Activision and they're like, well, we got to go buy somebody. Let's buy a Bungie. Thankfully, they didn't say Konami, because that's not worth the money. they would have gotten it significantly cheaper. I'll take $1.
At least get the Silent Hill IP from the 99-cent store. Jesus.
Oh, please. Gosh.
Offer to buy an NFT of the Silent Hill franchise with Konami. Maybe they'll fall for it. Actually, wait, quickly, though. The one thing with Bungie and Activision and all that, I think, with PlayStation and why they bought Bungie, I think, you know, because PlayStation does get to see things that Bungie's working on before anyone else does. And they get to see this. I mean, there's confidentiality agreements. There's, you know, all sorts of things. But how do you think that, like, okay, Sony secured the rights for an exclusive map to Destiny when it first came out, or Destiny 2. I don't remember which one of those they got the exclusive map for. They had that whole thing. You know, so they've had a relationship with Bungie for a bit. And they get to see these games months in advance to plan that marketing thing. And, oh, we're going to invest these dollars. So my thought is Sony saw something, whatever's Bungie's working on now. And they were like, we have to have this. We don't want anyone else having this but us. Or this is something that makes sense with our Sony and PC platform. Because I'll tell you, it's going to be PC as well. But it'll be a Sony and PC type of title. It makes sense with their strategy. So I think that is why Sony bought Bungie. Oh, you want to know another red flag for your video game commentators? I'm just going to tell it like it is, an analyst. If the next question that they're debating on their articles, their podcast or whatever is, who's Nintendo going to buy? Red flag emoji. Red flag emoji.
Red flag emoji. I haven't heard of that studio.
Dude, we should totally start that studio.
It's right. Nintendo is not rule number one, and a thing you should come to realize a long time ago. Nintendo doesn't play the same game as the others in the room. And also, why would Nintendo need to buy a studio to make more exclusive games when nobody is making exclusive games as good as Nintendo? Some people are going to take issue with what I just said, but I fucking said it. Nintendo is making the exclusives. That's why everybody always goes, wah, wah, why won't Sony buy Nintendo? Wah, wah, why can't we have Pokemon Legends on PlayStation 5? Wah, wah. Because
of all you wah, wah.
Because Nintendo is making the games y'all want to play. And that's the fact. They don't need to buy a studio to make games. They've got studios to make games. They're only going to buy the things that make sense with their French vanilla fantasies. That's it. They're only going to buy the studios that are already marching in tandem with them and already kind of pretty much a part of the family and so forth. They're not, Nintendo ain't fucking buying Sega. They're not going to buy Konami. They're not, Nintendo is just going to keep making Nintendo games. So yep. That's it. Yeah. Orange Ride in chat says, Nintendo does what Nintendo does. Yes, that. Tiger Claw says, Nintendo owns a couple studios of their own that develop only on their platform. Tiger Claw points out Retro Studios, the Pokemon company, to name a few. Yes, companies that worked with them for a while on titles and were already kind of making games for Nintendo, and it just made sense to be in. HAL Laboratories is another, there you go, that just makes sense to be in lockstep with them and where those acquisitions make sense. Nintendo fucking coming out of left field and plunking down a bunch of cash for Sega, not Nintendo's game. So I'm just saying. Fuck, it's 2022 and we've all lived in this, you know, pandemic era. Nothing should surprise us anymore. So you know what? If I have to sit here and eat crow because Nintendo does end up buying someone big, then you know what? Fuck it. Get me some catch up because it would be certainly interesting. But I think that's all it is a fan wank fantasy. I don't think it's rooted in reality. But what is real anymore?
Right.
What is real anymore? Anyway. Loki, anything else you wanted to say with that story?
No, that's it, really.
What do you think about the whole thing, Loki? Do you think this is a good move for Sony? Or...
Sure, why not? Because I'm not a big fan of Destiny, so I don't really care. But cool. I mean, I'd be curious to see what they develop next. Probably Destiny 3. That's how it works nowadays.
I like Destiny on paper more than I do actually playing it. And that is simply because I'm not great at shooters. That's really it. That's the end all be all. But I like what it is otherwise. And I've spent time. That was a game I played on Stadia for a bit when I was kind of evaluating. And I actually, because I was like, oh, I get to play on my PC as opposed to trying to play it on, you know, Xbox or something with a controller and get to use my mouse and keyboard. And it actually, I enjoyed playing it on that system. So, yeah, there is that. So, all right. Let's move on to another story about Sony and about the PlayStation 5. And, how they're not selling quite as many of them as they thought they would, but it's not their fault. It's the chip shortage. It's the chip shortage. Yeah. It's, you know, it's that thing that's
being
blamed.
We've been through this before.
For everything. Sony did the quarterly financial earnings report, as these large companies tend to do, and they did point out there was a rise in profit in the gaming division, but Sony did lower the full year PlayStation 5 sales forecast from 14.8 million to 11.5 million. That is a fiscal year forecast, so that means it ends on March 31st. That's the year they're talking about. Now, of course, according to the chief financial officer at Sony, Hiroki Totoke, we can't say exactly for sure what the demand is for next year. Sorry, that's not part of the quote, but basically that chip production and all that has been affected by the ongoing chip shortages around the world. So, Sony's trying to get more PlayStation 5s, but these chip shortages are going to continue for the time being, which, again, if you're paying attention to anything in electronics, cars, the refrigerator Alan and I are trying to buy, any of this stuff. It all plays into any of this. Intel has actually said that semiconductor shortages can continue into 2023. Nintendo has also slashed Switch production and said a 20% decrease in availability, as has Xbox talked about this, basically saying, interesting, though, when Phil Spencer talked about it, he said, I think it's probably too isolated to talk about it as just a chip problem. When I think about what does it mean to get the parts necessary to build a console today and then get it to the markets where the demand is, there are multiple kinds of pinch points in that process. So it's interesting. He's kind of called out there's other interesting things. It's trying to get that boat through the Panama Canal, and then there's one boat that's making them all back up that causes these consoles to not happen on time is basically what it's coming down to. So, Anyway, not terribly surprising to hear, but it is interesting when you hear it resulted in the hear it reported in the company's financial statements. Basically, it's I still don't have a PlayStation 5, but I'm hoping after this move settles down. And now you all know why I didn't indulge in the holidays, because I've been saving for this house stuff. But after that all settles down, I'm hoping I will finally get the PlayStation 5 maybe over the summer if the finances still look good, because I don't want to miss Final Fantasy 16 if it comes out this year, that's for sure. So we'll see. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura. Why talk about new consoles when we can talk about old ones?
Thanks for the spoiler, Rob.
Sorry. It's on the sidebar for what it's worth.
Yeah, but I had my own intro set up for that. Thank you.
Oh, my bad.
Anyway. I was going to say there's a new game coming on an old thing. So, the game is coming out on the Wii U in the eShop. And it's going to use the balance board, or at least it can use the balance board. But it is a game called Silver Falls White Inside Its Umbra. It's a horror game done by SunGrand Studios. It will allow you to use the balance board for, for movement if you want to. It looks pretty cool. I mean, this is sort of what I always thought the Wii U would have been great for. You know, I always wished that that there had been other games that had such deep integration with the gamepad, you know, so that you could see more stuff on there or use it to solve your puzzles or make it a camera or something. But it looks pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if it's worth me busting out wherever I put my Wii U to play, but hey, it could be fun. And I like kind of scary games, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a good question you bring up, though, is how many people still have their Wii U hooked up? Because I don't. I
don't even have a Wii U anymore.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure there's some. Like, if I pulled the chat, there'd be a couple people that are like, oh, I still have it. I still have it. I mean, how many of you actually still have it hooked up to your TV ready to power on at a moment's notice? Because I still have my Wii U. It's just in a box.
So. Ours was actually until, like, mid last year when we loaned it to Julian.
Mm.
So...
Okay, there's a couple people. It's about half and half. Some say I do. Some say I have it, but it's not hooked up or mine's in storage.
We bust it out from time to time for certain games. Like, Dan and I have talked about trying to dig it out to play Shantae. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and especially I think anybody with a passing retro interest. I mean, A, the virtual console is more expansive on the Wii U. There's that. And B, you know, just people that are retro console enthusiasts are going to tend to have more systems set up readily accessible when they get the urge to play something retro, which, you know, the Wii U kind of fits in that category now as a retro console. I know it's weird to think about, but it kind of is at this point. When did the Wii U release? Was it 2012? Are we hitting the 10-year point?
No. Because it was after I started my new job. So that would have been after 2014. Oh. I think it was like 2015 or something.
Was it really that? I guess, oh, wow, maybe it was. Bob Coffey says 2013 was the year.
2013? Oh, I might have gotten a little bit late.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Loki.
So speaking of Nintendo consoles and, you know, sales and stuff, you know, the Switch, it's doing well. It's outsold the Nintendo Wii, something that, aww, you know, we thought that might not actually be possible. But yes, apparently it is quite possible to do that. So, not bad. Curious to see where it ends up leaving off at the end. I mean, if it's already outsold the Wii and it's only been out a few years, it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, 103.5 million units sold since the end of the year. So
pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. I'm curious. We'll probably get an updated number to that around March, I'm guessing, because that's usually the end of the financial year. So we'll have to wait and see.
You know, a good point that Jason, our voiceover guy, brought up is that part of the reason probably why you see this number is as high as it is. I mean, it's a great console and, you know, there's good games on it. And of course, all that's very important and we shouldn't neglect any of that. But when the Wii was out, you also still had the Nintendo DS and the 3DS that was capturing that part of the handheld market. And Nintendo has essentially consolidated their two markets. So the Wii does not exist separately as the DS and 3DS, right, as a platform. True. Nintendo's gone from two platforms to one platform that does both. And so that's what? Also a big part of this as well, is that that number really reflects handheld and, you know, console.
I'm surprised, though, like, the top-selling game is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is at 43.35 million units. But, like, you would think, like, Mario Odyssey would be up there. It's only 23 million. And then even, like, say, you know, Breath of the Wild's 25 million. So I'm kind of surprised that those are so low.
I am as well, but
considering that's a Wii U game.
I think that's actually not a factor anymore, that it was a Wii U game. I think that, you know, nobody bought the Wii U. I know I'm making a broad stroke there. Sorry, especially to everybody in chat that just said my Wii U is still hooked up. I think the reality is nobody bought the Wii U. You know, when we talk about these big numbers. And so I think that part isn't as much. And I think what it is, it's just that thing that Mario Kart is that easy multiplayer party game that people want to own so that they have like the party game for people to play, or people come over and there's game night. And I think Mario Kart is just like that thing that's in our culture that so many people know now, you know, that it's just, I think that's why it even outsells a brilliant title like Breath of the Wild, where I don't think there's as many people that are, because, you know, if you want to play Breath of the Wild, you're going to have to sit down and game. You're going to, you know, spend some time with Breath of the Wild, and not everybody approaches their video games like that, where they're playing for hours and hours at a time. Some people just want to be able to play Mario Kart before or after the game that's on television. I think that's
I guess.
Big part of it, what it is. Bob Coffee in chat says, Mario Kart Deluxe is evergreen. Tons of normies buy it every day. Exactly. It's normies. Muggles, I guess. Although... I don't love using words in her environment, but muggles always a way I've explained non-gamers. Dark Tetsuya said, I mean, I thought the Wii U was all right, but consider I have like a dozen Wii U games compared to over two dozen on Switch. Yeah, me saying no one bought the Wii U does not suddenly make it a bad console or all the games on it were bad. I owned a Wii U. I thought it was great, and there was a lot of games on it I really liked, and I think EA really fucked them, but that's a whole other story. I think Nintendo did do some misfires with the Wii U, and the number one misfire was the name, but that's old news at this point. The reality is... You know, it's passed away, and now the Switch is the new person in town, and that's what it is. So, all right. E3VL says casuals. Yes, there is that as well. Moving on. You know what casuals love is Pokemon, and this is some very welcome news, I think, for a lot of people. Especially after, remember last week we had that news story about there was a YouTube channel with all this Nintendo music that got shut down. And, you know, I think our response to that was, boy, it would be great if Nintendo would have like a fucking player of their own somewhere where you could play the music. And sure, folks pointed out, oh, they're Super Smash Brothers. But even that is, you know, that's embedded within another game. And it's not something that really, you know, it's not like a library online you can access and all this stuff. Well, this makes the news this week very interesting that Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl audio are now available for use in personal projects. That is way off the course of what we would expect for Nintendo, right? Now, granted, this is the Pokemon company and it's technically separate, but obviously there's a relationship there, right? So the Pokemon company launched the DP Sound Library. DP stands for Diamond Pearl. I just want to make that very clear about Pokemon Diamond Pearl. You can use audio from Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl in your personal projects. You can put sound effects in there in like a social media video, like a YouTube or a Twitch. You could, if Bobby Blackwolf wanted to take out his overclocked music breaks and use Pokemon DP library, he could. I don't think he will because we still love overclocked here, but... That is something that could be available here on Twitch and what have you. Also, background music is allowed for non-commercial event or personal websites. So in other words, you can't exactly like put it in a movie and sell the movie. I imagine, though, you could probably play it at a convention and get away with it, even though that's kind of more of a gray area. But I digress. You can also download the music to use. You can stream the music if you just want some online radio type of stuff. It's all there. Now, there are, of course, bans on commercial uses, so no remix album to sell. You can't put them in your own game. No broadcast TV or radio or any of that. You cannot use the media. I think this is interesting. You cannot use the media in anything that makes specific ideological, religious, or political claims. Sorry, I'm laughing because I thought of something a streamer did last night, and I'm gonna warn. Alan's in the kitchen laughing too.
You know who also caught them all?
Jesus. Is it someone I know?
Sorry, I can't no COVID mon.
No, Alan in the other room went, you know who also caught them all? Jesus. But here's the thing. Okay. So you would not be able to use this in your stream. So it was actually losing color. I'm gonna warn.
I must have missed it. But
I'm gonna warn. This could ruffle some feathers, but I think if you just look at his humor and don't read too much into it, it's actually kind of funny. Was doing one of those post game chats with people and was just like, you know, typing or like
I remember
was
now.
Doing this whole thing and then at the very very end just put, oh, and by the way, enter, God doesn't exist. And then left.
Shit.
And I don't know why, but like Alan and I thought that was like the funniest troll. Like we were watching on the TV in our bedroom, we just start dying laughing. Oh, the player's name was God's Warrior. I didn't even see that. Oh, I just thought he randomly pulled that out of thin air. Just wanted to let you know, God doesn't exist. Good night. And I just started laughing.
The other one that cracked me up that was like something AR-14 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I made some sort of comment about that too, and I forgot. Anyway.
So anyway, my point is, probably would not want to use Pokemon DP music during that. No. So if you're trying to make a religious or what have you type of thing. A lot of people noticing this comes right off the heels after the YouTube channel gets shut down. Of course, this isn't Nintendo that did this. It's the Pokemon company, but still hard to ignore. And I think a lot of people are looking at this going, please, Pokemon company, please, please, will you go talk to your daddy, Nintendo, and tell him what a good idea this is and how Nintendo should do this? I mean, how many of you are just sitting here foaming at the mouth, salivating that Nintendo do this? I know I am. Can you fucking imagine if Nintendo actually said, you can use our music in your streams royalty free. Enjoy. You would never hear anything.
They already treat it like they do that anyway, so I don't understand what the difference would be.
But it's a gray area now,
I guess.
So,
but people already use it carte blanche, so why not?
It would just be, it'd be phenomenal. Anyway, I hope this isn't the last. I have a feeling this might be a test of sorts. We'll see how that all plays out, but I'm really hoping it's not the last that we see of this sort of thing. Maybe we'll see more Pokemon music make its way into this sort of format or something. I think that would be really great. So, Bob Coffey says, at the very least, Nintendo should put their stuff on CD here. Or like the streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, pick one of them, pick all of them. I don't give a shit. Just get the music out there to a place we can actually, you know, stream it very easily. But meh. All right, moving on.
Meh is right.
Yeah.
Well, Epic has filed a trademark for Epic Games Megaverse. They filed it at the end of 2021, and it's supposed to cover a wide range of goods and services and be a new umbrella for their big overall universe that they want to do. They're sort of putting it out there as sort of a 3D virtual space to play and work and people hang out, I guess. Sort of.
Can they just
like
finish their storefront, please, and stop all this nonsense?
It's supposed to be some sort of like mobile conversational service. So, but I mean, is this like their version of Play? Is it?
It sounds like their version of the metaverse, like Facebook's. You want to talk about VR 90s shit? Look at that. Look at that stuff that Facebook's trying to pull us with the metaverse. That's what this sounds like to me. But
like, I'm sorry, in the metaverse, I don't want to have a me anymore. I think we've moved beyond that.
Will Epic Games Megaverse have a shopping cart available?
Like, I swear to God, we're going to start our own metaverse, you know, type thing. It's like, you can't even finish the storefront. Don't start talking to me. If Steam wants to start off their own metaverse thing, by all means, they can go ahead and talk about that because at least they have a functioning storefront.
I'm going to say Steam kind of has the opposite problem, is that Steam tries to put their paws in too many things and then doesn't do anything with it. And I think the case in point is their whole – do you know Steam has a broadcast, like a Twitch competitor built into Steam? When was the last time anyone thought about that? That Steam has a competitor to Twitch built into Steam. I think every time I go there, it's a lot of Russian streams. So maybe that's also Dota 2's popularity over there. So it may be a combination of those things. Maybe it's just more popular in other countries than it is here. But it's one of those things where I'm always like, Steam just kind of like builds it and then lets it get moldy. Like, it's just like, it's weird. Anyway. But I guess good luck to Epic Games and the Megaverse. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I kind of agree with Loki, is that it's weird that they're even talking about this when their storefront is still as bad as it is.
There's just like so much cart before the horse type stuff. Like, first off, like the Metaverse stuff that they're talking about
It's to satisfy investors. It's to satisfy investors.
Right.
But I wish investors could see right through this. It feels like the investors don't use any of the products.
Exactly, because like you're talking about like the Metaverse stuff, like it's like basically Ready Player One kind of nonsense. You have to talk about wide adoption of VR, which I'm all for. Like, I really hope we get to that point. We are nowhere near that point. And then on top of that, your vision of it looks stupid. I don't want that vision of it. Like, I would rather do the stuff that they were talking about, like with HoloLens. That seems a lot cooler. I mean,
I got it.
Like it's all about it's all about investors and like you say a buzz phrase. It's like that's why everyone's getting into NFTs. It's just because ooh money NFTs. I like NFT. I'll give you money now. It's like,
I've got it. I'm gonna say something, and you're gonna hate me. And if you already hate me, you're gonna hate me more. Ready? What if Sony bought Bungie to help them make the Sony Metaverse Home 2.0 an always online experience in gaming? I don't actually think that, but I wanted to speak it into existence just to make everybody bang their head against the nearest flat surface. You're welcome.
They would never do that.
DJ Rama S in chat
says,
Home
was pretty
out.
Good. I mean, that's a lot closer than what they're doing with like Meta and stuff. I'm sorry, I'm not going to call Meta anymore. With Facebook's like idea of the Metaverse thing.
Facebook's being a butthole.
Which is just a big old ripoff of Ready Player One anyways. I mean, honestly.
Have you heard the latest with Facebook where now they're threatening to pull out of Europe because Europe won't let them violate privacy and sell the information to U.S.
Exactly. This is the company that you want to have. Like, they do understand that they're the IOI of this, Ready Player One story. I mean, they're not the good company. They're the company that you distrust and, like, are the evil company. So I don't care if they're going to try to bring it to the world. It's just no, it will never work.
E3VL in chat says, PS Home was ahead of its time. Just the load times and download was horrible. You know what? Yes. I've given PlayStation Home a fair amount of shit on this show. Who was the guy that used to really evangelize PlayStation Home here? He used to come in on Sunday nights. He used to talk up Home and all the good things. Where is that? I know he rage quit and stopped listening at some point ago. Where is that guy? I want to apologize to that guy. Because I think he was on to something. It's just a bummer Sony didn't just stick with it a little while longer. And I think maybe the PlayStation 3 wasn't the right place for it. I think the PlayStation 4 might have been able to handle a little more what they wanted it to do. Where it was, the trophies were actually things that you had and all of that stuff. Like, Sony could have had this a long time ago. It's a real bummer.
Coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda. All right. Anyway, SG100 Matt says, yeah, PlayStation Home was ahead of its time. Same with Game Room. Same with 1 versus 100. Just a touch ahead of the time.
Well, if I can continue with what I was going to say in my story.
I guess, yeah.
Okay. They're claiming that the investment is going to, and this is a quote, accelerate the work around building connected social experiences in Fortnite, Rocket League, and Fall Guys, and also, helping developers and other creators use Unreal Engine and the Epic services and their online store and stuff like that. So it's, I think it's meant to drive content and communication. So
it also sounds to me that Epic Games is saying the Megaverse is just Fortnite.
Rocket League.
And this is they absolutely do, but isn't it even better if Epic can tie all that into Fortnite? I I feel like it's just be such a thing for them to do anyway. All right. Moving on. I think we're over to Loki.
Yeah, so like everybody's been asking, "Hey, Rockstar, when are you going to make Grand Theft Auto 6?" Except I haven't been asking that because I just don't care anymore. I mean, I do care, but I'm not going to ask about it. So they finally have decided to publish a statement on it and saying that, hey, with unprecedented longevity of Grand Theft Auto 5, we know many of you have been asking about a new entry in the Grand Theft Auto series. Yeah, because it's been over almost 10 years now. And with every new project we embark on, our goal is to blah, 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 blah. Okay, so basically they're looking to push, you know, the boundaries of gaming and whatnot, and that their next entry is in active development, and they're looking to push those boundaries as well. So, yes, in development, who knows when the hell it's coming out.
Well,
it's been in development since, like, Red Dead Redemption 2, so, I mean, yeah, like, I don't know.
I was going to say, the fact that they're working on a Grand Theft Auto 6 should surprise nobody.
No, it's not a surprise.
But it's just interesting to hear them acknowledge it for a change. You know, like, oh, yes, that super obvious thing in the big, big elephant in the room.
Well,
here it is.
And also on top of that, though, like, I don't, like, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt here. Like, I need to see this game, you know. I can't throw trust into companies anymore, like especially with some of the stuff that they've tried to pull with certain games. They make quality games, yes, but they also can kind of rush to get things done. Yeah, I'm excited about it, assuming that the online or that the single player campaign's good, because that's really all I'm interested in. Online, yeah, not for me.
LM Orchard in our chat says GTA 6 in the metaverse. Okay, I'm going to need you to come put your face close to your mobile device or monitor or screen. Come put your face close to it so I can slap you. Come here.
No, they're not doing that in the metaverse. And they already have, they announced that they're doing San Andreas, remember? And they're probably going to have that same company that did the remaster do the VR version. So good luck with that. That's going to be a horror show. But, you know, I'm down to see it whenever the hell that comes out.
All right, look, enough metaverse, enough VR, AR, enough of that. Why don't we talk about a company that likes to make retro-inspired things? Let's talk about Yacht Club Games and their latest project, which they unveiled this week. It's called Mina the Hollower is the name of it. It's a 60 frame a second, and they're calling it a Game Boy Color homage. I don't know if it looks Game Boy Color to me. I guess so. It just looks more of a product of that era, like Shovel Knight was and so forth. But yeah, they're making it run at 60 frames a second. It's a top-down adventure game full of mystery and horror. They're saying Link's Awakening meets Castlevania with a sprinkle of Dark Souls. Why does everything have to be Dark Souls? Whatever. To me,
so it's going
to
be challenging.
Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's Dark Souls.
I saw Star Tropics, but Gothic. That's what I saw in it. But I guess there's similarities to all those
Tropics.
Loki, I'm going to need you to put your face really close to the TV, please.
We're going to need to time you out. Someone temp ban Loki.
Anyway, time out, Loki. 60 seconds. All right. The game is currently in production and all this stuff. And if you want to get on the game now, you can go to Kickstarter. That's kind of interesting. So they're kickstarting it. But it's one of those things where, like, because, you know, I've been very nervous about backing. I really haven't done one in a long time, and I'm probably not going to, because just there's been too many projects on Kickstarters that don't deliver. And that's the reality from my perspective. But I also understand where Yacht Club Games, who found that success for Shovel Knight, which truly was one of the great Kickstarter success stories. I can understand why they're going back to their roots a little bit with this. I fully expect this game will come out. I mean, the trailer was pretty outstanding and shows that the game is far enough along in development. And I mean, shit, they've already blown through their goal. They were only trying to raise $311,000. They've already hit $703,000. They're well past their goal. The game will happen. It's just, you know, how many stretch goals are they going to hit? But it is on Kickstarter. So they're up to, oh, this might interest you, Dark Sakura, the next stretch goal at $800,000, which I'm sure they'll hit because there are 22 days left in this, is the Mac and Linux port of the game will be the $800,000 goal. They've already reached sound test, cheat codes, and new game plus. So cool. Mac and Linux port is up next.
I did spend money on a Kickstarter.
Oh, what did
Drag
you Kickstart?
Fighting game.
Oh, yeah. Somebody dropped that on my doorstep, too, which, you know, again, I just kind of feel the way I feel about Kickstarter, so I didn't back it, but I'd be curious when that game comes out.
Yeah.
So
anyway, yeah, I didn't mean to derail, but
what was the name of it? Drag Her was the name of it or something like that, right?
Yeah, Drag Her. It looks pretty funny. It looks like everybody looks like Trixie Mattel.
Yeah. and Mike Def points out the Kickstarter isn't to fund the game. The Kickstarter is to fund future projects for the franchise like merch and future spinoffs. Well, but it does affect the game. Like, I know that's the line they're giving, but look, the stretch goal they're on, Mac and Linux port, that directly relates, new game plus. These are things that relate to the game. So it's, I get it. But and when I do feel more comfortable about Kickstarters, and to be clear, is when the Kickstarter is more to fund the publishing of the game. Like, I already have a finished product. I just need to make the cartridges to put Pixel Poops 2 on to sell, you know, the actual NES cartridges. That's where Kickstarters make more sense to me. So that way, you know, you're only funding as many of those as actually need to be made. So that's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I need to do that at some point.
Let's see. SG100 Matt says, when Yacht Club Games did the Kickstarter campaign for Shovel Knight, they provided consistent and fully transparent updates. So the community never felt it was ghosted and saw a lot of products. I think that's why this Kickstarter kind of feels a little bit different. That's for sure. All right. Well, on a retro note, roll the bumper for the next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, but this time Dark Sakura has a classic electronic handheld that she's going to be sharing with us here. So Dark Sakura, what is the classic handheld?
It is Mattel Electronics Football. And I'm talking about Eld. This was released in 1977. Depending on which version was released, like there was a re-release of it. There was Football or Football 1, because there was a Football 2 later. But it was basically, you had like little dots that represented the players and everything. There were, you know, a lot of differences between some of the different models too. The font on the first edition of it was that sort of 70s looking digital looking font. It also, the early ones came with an AC adapter jack that was removed on later models so that it would only run on battery. You know, there were other changes that they made for other markets. Some of them had like different stickers on the back. Like one of them said, "Try fresh batteries," written the back of the machine. It was released in June 1977. It was the second game that was released by Mattel. Auto Race was the first. It was sold through Sears. They had made less than 100,000 of them, and then Sears said that they didn't think the game would be a big seller, And so they stopped production on Football and Auto Race. And then in 6 months, Sears was proven wrong. So they started the production up again and sold quite a bit of them, as many as 500,000 units by midweek. Selling that many a week by mid-February 1978. It's Blippi Blippi Buttons. And didn't they do a re-release of this, I think? Because I think we have it.
Somebody in chat is asking about that. Dijarama S says, didn't they also re-release this? And so you are probably on the right track. And
yeah, because I know we have it somewhere. I'm going to double-check something real quick.
Yeah, sure. Getting some other comments in chat. Dark Tatsuya says, I've heard of it, but don't think I had one. Fifth Dream says, I played that once at a friend's house when I was little, though I have no interest in football, but I had interest in electronic games. Big same. I played this, but it was because I thought electronics were cool.
Yeah, it was re-released, and you can get it for $150 on Amazon.
Nice. Tiger Claw points out it had a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Interesting. That might also explain why they felt the need to reprint it at some point. So, and Fifth Dream says, the definition of beep boop. Yes.
Well, and you can still pick up, you know, the original ones for pretty inexpensive, like on eBay and whatnot. There's also a baseball. There was Subchase that came out in 1978. You can even get like a little keychain version of football. It's like the world's smallest, the world's coolest or world's smallest edition or something, and it actually works. So, you know, you can still get in on that action. They still take the same we've been using the same batteries for however many years.
Yeah, right.
It'll work.
Ellen Orchard in chat says, I loved the 70s and 80s attempts at sports games that had almost no resemblance to the actual sports.
Yeah,
but electronics were cool. So, and hence why we celebrate one every month here in 2022 with our classic electronic handheld of the month. And
lots
there it is.
Lots of bleeps, lots of bloops.
Lots of bleeps and
but
bloops.
Not to be confused with blinks and blunks.
Yes. Handheld electronic football. A very classic. And again, if you're listening on the podcast feed, you can't see the video of this. And I think the visual really sparks that memory for a lot of people. So I really encourage you to Google like image one of these Mattel handheld electronic football. And I'm sorry, was it Mattel?
Yeah, Mattel.
Yeah, it was Mattel. So I really encourage you to look. And by the way, actually, this YouTube we're playing here actually says this is one of the remade ones. This isn't the one from the 70s. Yeah. So,
It's enough, you know, that it shows how the game played. I mean, gosh, these things, they were pretty inexpensive, I think, the re-releases. And now, though, you can't really find them as well anymore, which is why they've gone up in expensive.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Great pick. We'll get another one next month with our classic electronic handheld of the month. Awesome, awesome. All right. We are going to get into our next segment, which is some rapid fire news and quickly talk about some other things going on in the gaming industry. Loki.
Yeah, so Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has been delayed to 2023. They need more time, you know, to make the game as polished as it can possibly be. No big deal. And then there's this funny mod that's coming out for Halo 3 on PC. It adds a Chevy Tahoe to it. Now, why a Chevy Tahoe? Because that was in the trailer for the new Paramount Plus series. Which doesn't make any sense that this vintage 500-year-old Chevy Tahoe would be in there, but because, you know, product placement is a thing, now it's a thing in your PC version of Halo 3.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
All right.
That's funny.
Darsaga.
So, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is getting a new character. They are getting the Shredder. Maybe all that hardware is for making coleslaw.
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
He is in the game, and it is definitely, you know, 90s cartoon Shredder. And then in other news, and this is pertinent to a lot of our listeners' interests, the Pokemon Legends has sold 6.5 million copies worldwide in 7 days. and it puts it above Pokemon Sword and Shield in terms of its sales. So, good job, consumer whores.
Did you say 7 days? I think you did.
You know, all that makes me one is the Ringu chapter for Dead by Daylight.
Bob Coffee in chat points out, it would have sold more if they fucking shipped more than 5 copies. You know, that's a good point. There's a lot of people that didn't even get their copy until this week. I guess some of the distribution was having problems. I mean, shock in this day and age. You know, I got mine digitally, so it was whatever. But I think a lot of people that did opt for the physical edition, for whatever reason, you're entitled to that, had to wait a little longer because I think the official ones from like the Pokemon store online or whatever were delayed. Like most of those were delayed. So it is interesting that it sold so well, even amongst all those issues. But I think just also goes to show the strength that, you know, the Pokemon fandom is craving some other types of ideas. And I think it all but guarantees we will see this Legends concept again, whether it is legitimately a sequel to Legends or like even the next mainline game looking a little more like a hybrid. We'll see. We will see. So, oh, wow. Bob Coffee says, kind of clarifying their comment, says, our store only received 5 copies. Holy moly. Yeah, I guess. LOL supply chain. I guess the rest were stuck in the Panama Canal. DJ Ramez says, one of our staffers got her Pokemon Brilliant Diamond late due to shipping from Pokemon. When she got it, she ended up with 2 copies of the game. I guess good things come to those who wait. It was interest. The Pokemon bred while it was in transit. I don't know. The egg hatched. Insert joke here. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some games that are going to try to sell 6.5 million copies next week. Let's start in the U.S. They'll try. Let's see if any of them can do it. Loki, anything in the U.S.?
Yeah, we've got Ollie Ollie World on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Sifu on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Crossfire X on Xbox One and Xbox Series. And then we have all of the Kingdom Hearts coming to Nintendo Switch. So Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix, HD 2.5 Remix, HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, and Kingdom Hearts 3 all on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Lost Ark on PC.
Oh, that Lost Ark. A lot of people trying to sell me on that one. I might have to check that out. Sounds pretty interesting. Going over to Japan and checking out the releases this week. We've got some titles this week on the Nintendo Switch. Let me tell you, we have a game called Let's Play Curling is coming out. Fuck yeah, curling. I mean, and how apropos the timing is with the Olympics going on right now. I know we haven't brought that up yet, but you know, that is going on. And curling is that thing that like used to be like the whole, hey, did you stay up until 2 a.m. and watch the curling? And like, it used to be like that thing that nobody knew about. And now I do feel like it's that thing that like people are like, oh, it's the Winter Olympics. You know what that means? Curling. It's the
curling.
Only time it's on TV. Fuck yeah, curling.
Okay. I have to make a side note.
That should be the name of the U.S. release of this game. Fuck yeah, curling.
You know, yes. I like the show Canada's Worst Driver.
Uh-huh.
When it was on. They for one of their driving accuracy things, like to do control, they had curling. They created a giant puck and you had to steer it with the car.
Sounds awesome.
That's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard.
Another big release in Japan this week. I'm sorry, this is too good. It's by Idea Factory on the Switch called My Next Life as a Villainess. All routes lead to doom. Pirates that stir the waters.
I love it.
There's so many subtitles and they're all great.
That's like 3 games in one. What is it? A villainous? Routes leading to doom? Or pirates?
Yes.
Are you sure it's not about me?
I did think of you when I read this, Dark Sakura. You should take a look. Hold on. I'll just post this in the chat. I don't care. Hold on. I'm going to post this link in the chat. Because then when you look at the game, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? This isn't any of those things at all, actually. let's see. Orange Wright in chat points out it's a light novel. And yeah, when you actually kind of look at the box art and what it's about, it's The character has memories of her previous life as a high school girl. In the world of Fortune Lover, she was reincarnated as a villainess who stood in between the love of the main characters and whose endings only lead to a future of exile or death, but managed to avoid the destruction flags of the game safely. So, there's a whole lot of drama going on in this game. There's some stories in this, but it's the type
of... sounds like some stories.
It does. Check out some of those screenshots. That there's some things going on in those screenshots. Anyway, those are your big titles on the Switch this week. So you get curling or trashy romance novel game. It's kind of your picks.
Why not both
at the same time? My life as a villainess, eternal doom in curling. All right. Anyway, there's Dark Socrates game.
I actually found something on the site that interests me a lot more.
Oh, what's that?
It's the Switch version of Pocky and Rocky.
Oh. meanwhile, on the PlayStation 5, some releases this week. Chorus, A Plague Tale Innocence gets its Japanese release this week. And there are some peripherals as well. There's like a racing wheel that comes out that supports some games and all that good stuff. Yeah. So there you go. Those are your Japanese releases. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
In the UK, we have Summer in Mara, that is February 11th. Actually, all of these are on February 11th. We have Bassmaster Fishing Deluxe 2022. We have Unbound Worlds Apart for PlayStation. And then on Switch, the Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, The Definitive.
Sorry, I'm laughing at Dark Tetsuya's comment in chat. Card curling Sakura.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I have to say yes to that.
Yay. Yes wins. All right. All right, moving on. Let's talk about another thing a lot of people say no or yes to in our next story, Loki.
Yes, everyone's favorite game of the week, or game of the day, I guess, Wordle, has been purchased by the New York Times. Because the New York Times is not one to bow down from joining in the game company acquisition that is, you know, Sony and Microsoft. New York Times also is poising to be a big game developer, publisher house, or whatever. No, really, they just like the advertisement. Maybe, going to bring people to their site or something.
Behind their paywall eventually.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, they will. They will. If you read their comments, they're like, oh, we're not putting it behind a paywall initially. Initially?
Like, it's part of their digital subscription growth strategy. Yeah. Yeah, we know
sure.
what it is.
Congrats to the New York Times, who was not knowing enough about technology and the fact that people have already right-click save this game to play for it. Like, literally, that's the thing. Everybody's like, you could just right-click save Wordle and you can just play it for the next like 5 years without worrying about a paywall or anything like that. So congrats to the New York Times for really being dumb enough to buy Wordle. Now, before I just sound like I'm a complete jerk, I'll say major props to the guy, and I forgot his name, but his last name is something like Wordle or something. Like, he has a very his last name is very similar to the name of the game. It's kind of funny. I do not fault that guy one bit. Good, in fact, good on him. Good on the spouse that inspired the game, apparently, and all that stuff, because she liked word games or whatever. Good on both of them for taking the money and running and cashing that check and getting an early retirement. I don't fault them one goddamn bit, and neither should anyone. Good for them. I think the New York Times was really boneheaded in this. But now they'll own the trademark. There isn't one now, but you betcha New York Times is going to file a trademark, and they would be very smart to try to get on a mobile app or something like that. But I think the Wordle gas tank only has so much fuel left in it, and yeah, it's kind of the social media thing of the moment, but we're still in the hopefully closing days of the pandemic, where we're not getting together in person the way that we used to, so sharing our Wordle scores online is one of those things that brings some of us joy But eventually we're going to be back in person again, and I just think Wordle is going to fade out as quickly into the night as it showed up. And there's so many Wordle clones now. Thank you. Bobby Blackwolf reminded me. Josh Wardle was the guy's name. Thank you. And point out, and yeah, he talked about this in his story. I rebuilt Wordle in C64 Basic. Yeah, it's interesting. Wordle has actually, you know what Wordle is? It's Flappy Bird. Mm. Wordle is Flappy Bird. That's exactly what it is. And now it's like that, it's that clone that's going to show up everywhere, because we've seen, I've seen Mike Deft posting the Wordle in Spanish scores. I see Loodle with all the naughty words like twats. That's that one's fun. And then what I see the one with like the 10 letter long words and all that stuff. Like there are just, there are so many knockoffs of Wordle, and it's just like when Flappy Bird came out, right? Then everything in the App Store was some ripoff of, or and Google Play and all of it was just, and then there was Flappy Vogue. Bobby Blackwolf built Flappy Vogue, right? Which I was going to say is still playable on the site, but I actually think that's a lie because I think the integration that it uses no longer works.
How dare.
You'd have to re-render it as a HTML5 app.
And, yeah, and who's going to take the time to do that? So now Bobby says this is my good pet project to learn new languages in. He talked about this on his show a little bit, is that, you know, when you build your first game, the way that Loki did it is the wrong way to do it. You do not start your first game being some overly ambitious project about cars getting into big wrecks and then you don't end up finishing them. No offense. The game you did finish turned out great.
There's no wrecks.
But Bobby says start with poker. Start with Hangman. Start with Flappy Bird. Start with Wordle. So Wordle is just the Flappy Bird of 2022 is really what it is. And that's it. All right, and Bobby bringing the technical explanation. I knew it was something. It's not playable anymore due to the Unity game player is no longer supported by browsers. So if you had an old browser or something, it might work, but not likely. So Dartusia says, I concur with Rob. Start with something simple, Breakout, Space Invaders, that kind of thing. Yeah. Or build a game for a system that doesn't exist anymore, right, Dark Sakura?
Yeah, there is that. Sorry, you had to say that right when I'm drinking.
Oh, sorry.
There is a game called Eye of Typhoon, and it is being released in the United States. It actually is a South Korean game, and not only is it going to be getting a PC release, it's coming out on the 3DO. Guess who has a 3DO?
I know you must have one.
I think we have a 3DO.
But is it hooked up?
I think.
Now let me go. Fuck, Bobby Blackwolf is your. Of course, he just popped up. I have a 3DO. Is it hooked up? It's hooked up. No. Bobby, get close to the monitor. Bobby.
I'm gonna tell Dan that we need this game.
No, I have seen Bobby's 3DO. Living room. It's pretty great. Get Bobby to post a picture of the box collection from the 70s and 80s. That's the really impressive part.
Well, we talked about actually Dan's thinking of selling the Mustang, and we're going to convert the garage.
Oh, wowie. That's a big step.
Yeah. But we're thinking of converting the garage to our new game room.
But who would have thought a new 3DO game in the year 2022? But this is going to be huge for... you know, somebody. No, people that are the retro scene.
What was that Genesis game that came out that everyone was all hot and bothered over and then it didn't play very well?
Well, I mean...
Cyber something?
And people are making games for the Nintendo Entertainment System and actually putting them on cartridges. Can you believe?
What a world.
Nope.
Who would do that? LM Orchard in chat says, if I had a 3DO, it would just be the machine that plays Zelda the Wand of Gamelon. Yeah, for 5 minutes until you remember how fucking terrible that game really was. I mean, that game exists to be in Awesome Games Done Quick and Summer Games Done Quick, and then that's it. Like, the game does not hold up well, in my humble opinion. All right. Let's talk about something we hope doesn't hold up very well over time, Loki.
Yes, Yes, it is our weekly discussion of NFTs and how...
I want to point out, Loki had like four stories about NFTs tonight. I said, you know what? Not today, Satan. No, I'm not calling Loki Satan, but I'm calling you-know-what Satan. I said, I'm burying this in part B of the show, and you know what? We're going to put it in one segment and then be done with it. I'm not going to talk about this half the show again. But please, give us our update on these new fucked up things.
Yeah, so itch.io made a statement on Twitter talking about NFTs, saying NFTs are scams, and if you think they're legitimately useful for anything other than the exploitation of creators, financial scams, and the destruction of the planet, we ask, please reevaluate your life choices. So that sums it up pretty well, I think. And then, of course, we had Team 17 trying to license the worms for NFTs, and then that got, you know, struck down pretty fast. People were very angry at that, and so they have decided to not do that anymore.
There's many people in chat, by the way, cheering for itch.io. If you'd like to show your support for itch.io, you can go to the website and then search for Techmaster Games and then buy the game that's available there. And that'll be showing itch.io that you support their stance. Right, Loki?
Right. Yeah. They decided to go ahead.
Techmaster Games and then buy the game that comes up.
Or just, search for Pixel Poop Summer 2. So apparently they've decided to, AgroCrab Games basically put out a tweet saying that they believe that NFTs cannot be environmentally friendly or useful and are really just an overall grift. Please do not harass the employees at Team 17 or devs under their umbrellas, as this decision seems to have taken everyone off guard and likely came from the very top, which is unfortunate. Then, of course, we have, companies that are kind of changing their position on it. So EA, Andrew Wilson is saying now that going from calling NFTs the important part of the future of our industry to, walking away from them slightly. And, anything that brings, I'm trying to see here. It says right now it's not something we're driving hard on. likening it to past capital fads around 3D, AR, and VR. Meta wants to talk to you about their metaverse, if you want to talk about fads.
By the way, random tangent, but it's more important than NFTs, and that's talking about poop. And Bobby Blackwolf points out that Pixel Poops number 2 apparently came out a year ago. The itch.io page says he bought it 357 days ago. What is time anymore in a pandemic? Did you know that, Loki? It's the birthday of Pixel Poops
coming up.
How about that?
I'm
pretty sure Bobby bought it day one, so that's, that means yesterday was the first birthday.
Huh.
How about that? Happy birthday, Poop! Anyway, back to NFT.
And then, of course, you have the companies that are doubling down on it. And so Ubisoft, of course, is gifting NFTs to their employees, which I'm sure really appreciate that. One of those is one to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Ghost Recon. One developer said, we hate this crypto stuff. Okay. Ubisoft saying, okay, come get some. They don't get it is basically the tone that the developers think that they have with this whole Ubisoft Quartz platform.
Again, I'm going to interrupt your NFT talk because it has come to my attention that my brain blue screened of death when talking about the numbers there. There's actually 365 days in a year, and my brain did something with those numbers. So it's actually the birthday of Pixel Poops is February 13th. So it's coming up. So it's not too late to buy the game a cake.
I thought it came out was next week. But
yeah. But I mean, Loki, seriously, you deserve a cake. So get yourself a cake.
And then last but not least, Konami remains committed to the future of the NFT market projects. So this is not the end. They will be producing more NFTs because they made money off of absolutely literally nothing, zero effort on their part. And so, of course, why wouldn't they double down on this? Besides, I hear the pachinko business isn't doing that great in Japan right now. So, yeah.
All right. Everybody with me on the count of three. One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And as with that, we've purged the entities from our system.
Thank you. Chat is suggesting that we have some theme music to go with this, such as Yakety Sax or something. Oh, I mean, technically those songs are copyright. I don't know. Maybe there's some Pokemon music we can play. They'll play the Team Rocket theme or whatever the equivalent was in Gen 4.
Yes, we need to do that.
Okay. I'll be when we get to the new setup, I'll be set up for that. So we'll do that. Team Galaxy or whatever they were called in Gen 4. All right, moving on. Let's talk about something that's actually pretty cool. Let's talk about, finally, PlayStation integration with Discord. Now, I kind of thought you could do this before. You could already integrate, like, your PlayStation tag in Discord. But now you can go a step further, and Discord will now show, like, what games you're actually playing on PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5. In fact, when you signed into Discord recently... Hopefully to join the VOG Network Discord server, which is available at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. That's one of those places you can send me messages throughout the week that create good topic ideas that then I want to talk about it on the show. That's one place to message me. Or Dark Soccer if you want to talk about Dead by Daylight or anything like that. Or Loki if you want to talk about Minecraft or how much you're watching his videos and enjoying them. You can do that on our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. And you can also now connect your PlayStation 4 and 5, your PSN accounts, to show what is it that you're doing on your PlayStation. Will show on your Discord profile. Maybe you don't want people to know. That's okay, because you can hide that too. By the way, this functionality has existed for Xbox and the for a little while now. But it's nice that Sony is there too, especially because we heard like a while ago that Sony and Discord were doing like a strategic partnership kind of thing. So I feel like this is weird that it took this long to get here, but okay. Anyway, the pop-up has come up for a lot of people, so you probably saw it that way. But if you missed it, go to the Discord app on your web, on the web browser or mobile, whatever. Go to the connections section of the user settings. And then where all the other connected accounts are, because you can connect your Twitch and all that stuff, connect your PSN account there, and there you go. So we'll see what else comes out of that partnership that they formed back in May in the coming months. Interesting. Especially because, do you remember this? Remember at one point Microsoft was going to buy Discord? And then that didn't happen. You remember that? That was only about a year ago that all happened. They were going to buy them for $10 billion. But Discord is staying an independent company. So interesting. Discord in a blog post said, "We are excited to continue our partnership with PlayStation and explore how we can collectively create great shared experiences for your friends and communities." We'll see what develops. All right. Anyway. That's it. We're now to the listener roundtable, where we invite your calls over at vognetwork.com/Discord. So there's another plug for that. You can join the green room and we will get to some calls if anybody decides to be brave enough to call in. We also like to do emails, although I can't recall if I saw any.
Nope.
Participate@orangelaundryradio.com. No?
Nope.
So usually this would be the place where Dark Soccer and I talk about Drag Race, but admittedly I haven't been watching. So remind me of this. I guess it would be a good place to really talk about that Kickstarter that about Drag Her or whatever it was called.
It looked pretty fun. I mean, the rewards on there, though, were, I mean, some of them got to be pretty big. Like if you spent like $5,000, they'd fly. You had to provide your own ticket, but they'd go to Los Angeles and participate in all this stuff and whatever. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like it would happen. But I just got the one to get my copy of the game. It looks like fun. I mean, I wonder if you're going to have like the shade attack or the reading attack or something.
Probably. Just a bunch of isms ripped off from Drag Race, which in turn was ripped off from Paris is Burning. And, you know, it's just been, you know.
It looks interesting, though. I mean, I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. It'll be cute. So.
Yeah.
I'll check it out when it comes out.
If it ends up being, you know, actually something that that does reach its funding.
I do have one thing I'll say about Drag Race. And again, we talk Drag Race because we didn't get any emails. Participate@orangelaunchradio.com. So when we don't get emails, we assume the email says, tell us your thoughts on Drag Race. Now,
about them queens.
I haven't really been watching either series, but I will say this about UK versus the world, that one that's airing right now. I'm going to say this about that. I done told you years ago, Pangina Heels is fucking hot, number one. And is fucking talented, number two. I done said that on that podcast I used to do with Captain Spike and Slidekick and Delvin. We had that show for a while. And that was right when Thailand Season 1 came out. And I told you then, hot, talented. And now y'all learning that watching UK versus the world. There is no other queen than Pangina Heels, in my opinion. She's fucking
fantastic.
I've
already been told.
I already told you. I'm glad the rest of you caught up. Finally, in all reality, I'm actually thrilled that Pangina Heels gets a spotlight on this because, you know, unfortunately, with Drag Race Thailand not being in English, it was great for people in that country, but people in U.S., Britain, Canada couldn't really experience or get to know Pangina Heels. So I'm really glad that she has this platform for people to be able to get to know her. So I'm very glad about that. All right.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. Okay. Straight man.
Actually,
you can listen
one
again.
One more thing.
What?
It's like something like a Twitch LGBT award that's going on.
Oh, yeah. I heard about it. We weren't nominated. How about that?
Well, Evo, though, who is a drag queen Dead by Daylight streamer, has been nominated and was just recently named a Twitch ambassador.
I saw I lurk in her channel sometimes. She doesn't even know who I am, but I lurk in her channel sometimes. Holly got nominated for something with that?
Yeah, it's me, Holly.
Yeah.
I didn't see Holly on the list.
There's two categories. One is like big streamer. One is like up and coming streamer. And she's on the up and coming one. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Holly's great. I really enjoy Holly's streams. But
yeah.
I'll be honest. The person I've been spending a lot more time in lately, you know, apart from my usuals, is the Lady Bird.
Oh, okay.
Really, really fun. I actually got her husband as a survivor in Dead by Daylight once. It was pretty funny. I was like, wait, are you who I think you are? Like, are you Dark Sakura? I'm like, yeah. It was pretty funny.
That's funny. Okay, so of course we open up this segment as well to your questions in Discord. And there's a couple questions coming in here. So let's start with Bobby Blackwell's question, who says, is Dan getting a Rush pinball yet?
He didn't think it looked that exciting. I want it for the music, but honestly, it didn't have a lot of the fun twists that some of the other pinballs do.
All right.
It's kind of middle of the road as far as a pinball goes, but I still want it for the music and the theme.
Yeah. SSJ100 Matt says, what's everyone streaming? I was watching Murderville this week, which has been hilarious. So not streaming games, but like other, I guess, media, TV movie type of thing.
The Book of Boba Fett.
Mm.
Or AKA The Mandalorian Part 2.
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I have been watching Australian Survivor, who I think, and I know people have very strong opinions on Survivor. They either love it or they hate it, and I get it. But I will say this, Australia is producing a better show right now than the U.S. Like, I am so sold on Australia's Survivor. It's so good. And this particular season has, and I am a Sandra fanboy. I think she is the queen. And the fact that they got her to do the Australia version, I think, is huge. And I just love watching her and her daughter play. And the rest of the cast is really good, too. So props to Australian Survivor. That's what I've been streaming. But secretly, it's a secret group online that has links to pirate the episodes because Paramount Plus teased us with adding Australian Survivor, but won't do it day and date as it's airing live. And a show like Survivor gets spoiled very easy. So as far as I'm concerned, that's Paramount Plus's lost. Yes, I will pirate it. I would have happily watched it on your platform, Paramount Plus. Get with the times. We live in a world environment. I don't know why. Loki, what are you streaming?
King of the Hill.
Okay.
Why not? Hey, streaming is to watch old stuff too. Why not? All right.
It's either King of the Hill or Barefoot Contessa.
Why not both at the same time? Dark Tetsuya says, maybe a long shot, but has anyone checked out the Cotton reboot? The wife got it for me, and it's the cutest shmup I've ever played. I've really been meaning to check it out. I haven't yet, but it looks super cute. And I'm sure Dark Soccer has just now been reminded of it and is like, I should probably get that.
I have it.
Oh, you do? Oh, what do you think?
Yeah, it was gifted to me.
Oh, love that.
So, I haven't played it yet, though.
Oh, get on it.
Cotton requires a certain amount of attention that I've been sorely lacking lately.
I understand. ZenMonkey11 says they're streaming Big Brother, which I gotta, usually I'm into those, but the cast was so unexciting this year. Sorry. I'm not interested in anyone on the cast. Sorry about it. Sia Tiberi suggests the Barefoot King of the Hill or Contessa of the Hill. I like Barefoot King of the Hill. DJ Rama S says King of the Hill is a great anime. Yes.
King of the Hills of Tatooine.
All right. Loki, do we have any last minute stories tonight?
No.
No? All right.
Unless we want to talk about someone robbing a bank with a Sonic the Hedgehog mask on.
That's not gaming news.
That's not gaming news,
that's
though.
That's not gaming. That's a filler piece. Actually, you know what? I will say for a minute, I think gaming websites and news websites that run with those types of headlines should really stop and evaluate what is the point of running with that type of headline.
Or like a story that like is like talking about a YouTube video, like a singular YouTube video. Like I watched for example, there was one I saw that they talked about Doug Doug's video where he does like silly challenges on Twitch all the time. And one of them was like, he's going to speedrun Mario Odyssey. And every 5 minutes, he's going to add a HUD from a different game just to his OBS. And he has to like look through all that. And it's just silly. But they wrote an article about that. It's like,
but I just think in particular, the whole like, oh, this thing happened in the real world and it just like had this very loose tie to gaming culture. I mean, gaming culture is like everywhere now. It's like the whole thing with Mario Kart. Like anyone in their 40s or younger grew up with Mario Kart and knows what Mario Kart is and played it at a birthday party at least once in their life. Unless, I mean, you live in a very rural or in North America, you know, I realize the world's a big place. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. People know that type of stuff. And so it's like somebody robbed a bank with a Sonic the Hedgehog mask. Well, people rob a bank with Mickey Mouse masks on. You don't see Deadline reporting on that. Like, it's just, I just don't understand what that absolutely has to do with gaming. I feel like blogs and news sites try to say, oh, look, it's like it's proof that gaming is out there in pop culture. Okay, we've been new. Like, we know gaming is out there in pop culture. Like, you don't, especially these negative things like robbing a bank, we don't need it pointed out. Sonic the Hedgehog,
like those gamers, they're just robbing banks now. It's probably that Grand Theft Auto teaching them to do that.
Sonic the Hedgehog,
gotta steal fast.
Sonic the Hedgehog was a highly successful movie franchise at this point. And that franchise, because they're doing more than one movie. Like, that is worth writing about. Do we need to talk about Sonic robbing a fucking bank? I don't think so. It's just silly. And Bobby in chat says, yeah, they still have story quotas at Kotaku. SSG 100 Matt says it's usually a Kotaku writer fulfilling a story quota for the week. Yes, it's easy to pick on them, but I see it a lot of other places too. So sure, we can start the conversation with Kotaku, but this is a problem all throughout the industry. Let's be real. Those types of like report, because guess what? Kotaku ran with that headline. I'll bet you what? There's what? Probably hundreds of active gaming podcasts right now. I'll bet you at least 100 of those gaming podcasts picked up that headline from Kotaku and are going to talk about the bank robbery with the song. I guess we just did, but in a different context, are going to talk about the article on the show. And my point is, why? That has nothing to do with gaming. And I just think we just need to get above that. It's just silly. Zen Monkey in chat says, Mario and Sonic do a heist is the next Switch game. Bobby Blackwell says, Grand Theft Mario. See, now you bitches are funny. Like, if people are going to bring it up to be funny like that, then that's different. But you know the difference. You know. Anyway, let's just stop talking about the honestly, it's along the same lines to me as, and this was what, just like 3-4 years ago, we would have those headlines. Woman meets underage man on World of Warcraft and kidnaps him across state lines for, like, because I know that was a thing a couple years ago. And it's just like, is that really about World of Warcraft? Or is that just about weird people doing weird things and illegal things? It's not about gaming culture. It's just gaming is that much in our culture that now all the ugly shit in our culture, like kidnapping, like robbing banks, et cetera, is now, you know, gaming gets tied into that stuff. Pixel Pacas in chat says, reminds me of that headline this week. Here's the boat that won't bring Jeff Bezos' hair or wife back. And I was like, that's savage.
Wow.
When that's the see, but that's funny. Like, again, we're all going to be less irritated if it's funny. If the headline on Kotaku had been Mario and Sonic do a heist or whatever, I probably would have never brought it up here on OLR because I would have been, well, bitch, at least it was funny. Right? Anyway. Yeah, E3VL says clickbait titles. For sure, for sure. And then Facebook threatens to pull out of Europe. And I'm like, why don't you just do the entirety of Europe a gigantic favor? They won't ever have to see another clickbait headline. Let's see. Oh, yeah. SJ100 Matt brings up the whole Kotaku story about MAGFest, where they claimed MAGFest refused to respond to the story. MAGFest showed the receipts that said otherwise. Yeah, because they gave MAGFest like an hour to respond before they ran with the story. And then, of course, they put MAGFest did not comment on this by deadline time. And it's like, girl, that's shady. That's shady. You need to give a company like MAGFest more than an hour to respond. Come on. Come on. Anyway. But
most companies, when they get any kind of correspondence or contact, are at minimum 24 hours to reply.
Yeah. I'm not here trying to drag the entirety of games journalism. I'm just trying to point out these are things we can probably do better. These are things that do we really need this in our, you know, if we're gaming fans and this is gaming fandom, do we need bank robbers in this discussion? I don't think so. Do we need NFTs in this discussion? Absolutely not. But at least I understand why that's coming up, because it's in that context, it's bringing an awareness to these things that gaming executives are, we think that, you know, they're being convinced. And your favorite Hollywood celebrities like Brie Larson, Tony Hawk, are getting pulled into a conference room and getting convinced by some shill that this is the next big thing and they have to get in on it, right? And they have to write a tweet about it. Anyway. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. That's what you get when you don't email us. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. That being said, we'll wrap up. We'll round and get everybody's final thoughts. But first, I want to thank you, as always, for listening to our show. Whether you were here live with us on Sunday nights or you were listening via the podcast feed on your favorite app, thank you so much for doing that. And hey, either leave us a nice review, please, or tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and we want more voices in the room so we can talk constructively about the things going on in our industry and not about bank robbers. We'll be back next week, of course, and then not here in 2 weeks as the show goes through some changes with the relocation, but it'll still be the same old good old OLR that you know and love. But I hope you will join us next week, despite the concert bookended by that little ball game on TV. I think that's it. Dark Sakura, what is your final thought tonight?
Keep your salty shit about Noed out of my endgame chat.
All right. Have fun in Debbie Delight. We'll see you in a little bit. All right.
Why is Debbie so delightful? She's kind of a bitch lately.
Because she did Dallas.
And she's sore now. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Loki, we'll go to you. Your final thought.
Final thought is I need to work more on my craft. I need to figure out some different things to do in there.
My final thought is I'll probably do like one personal stream this week, but then I'm going to be on a little bit of a break because of the move. I'm sure y'all can understand. But yeah, I'm really excited to getting to a new place and a new setup. S200 Matt, I think a good thought here too says mask up, get vaxxed and boosted, stay home when you're sick. Right, Loki? You're staying home because you're sick, right?
Yeah.
On a serious note, feel better. I'm sorry that happened, but I hope it hasn't been that bad, right? Because you got vaxxed and boosted, so it's just been...
Yeah, it's been... I mean, it's been like a... Just like a cold. I mean, I don't know. Like, but right now I just have that... I mean, like the cough and phlegm phase. So
yeah, I understand. That's pain. Stuff. I was wondering if I've just had this most sore throat for like an entire week. And then that was it. This is weird. I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. All right. I did take an at-home test, actually, and it was negative, but I know those at-home tests
can
be very
picky. Here's the
funny
thing, too. I took an at-home test, too, and it was also negative.
And then so, you took the lab test, and it was positive?
Well, my son took a test at school because he had gotten a cold, so we thought, oh, he just had what I had, and then he got some symptoms, so we kept him home for a day or two just to, you know, until his fever went down. And then he got back to school, and he had to take a test there before they let him in. They're like, it's positive. I'm like, dang it. Yeah, but the tests actually at like the hospitals aren't as good as the at home tests, because the ones at the hospitals will detect it up to like 90 days after it's been in your system.
Oh.
So like, it's not a good indicator whether you have COVID still. Just if you've had it recently.
Huh.
But the at-home test, at least that's what pediatricians said. They said the at-home tests are the way to go. I don't know, but we'll see.
All right. Well, stay safe, everyone. I mean, it does seem like it sucks, Loki, that we're at this finish line, basically, when it comes to Omicron and things are going down. And lucky you, here you are.
Lucky
but
me.
Hopefully,
wasn't too bad.
Hopefully, this is a sign of the end of the things.
As long as the long-term stuff isn't a big deal.
Yeah. Here's hoping. Fingers and toes crossed. All right. That's it, everyone. We'll be back in 7 days for episode 903. Happy gaming, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Hey, next week we get to celebrate 1 year of Pixel Poops. So tune in next week for that, the actual 1 year anniversary. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a good one. Oops. Maybe it would help if I hit the right button that says credits and not classic game B-roll. Let's try that again. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.